and welcome back to another episode of the Caffeine and Sensu Beans podcast. It wouldn't be an episode of the Caffeine and Sensu Beans podcast if we didn't have technical difficulties. Right now we're on a roll. One technical difficulty per episode. So I think that deserves a nice cheer. Right? If it ever loads. Okay, that's not going to work either.
Another technical difficulty. Two, we're adding them up tonight.
Two for one. Yeah, two for one. Well, while that boy continues to do what he's doing.
There it is.
How are you doing, Adrian?
I'll let the clap finish up.
There you go.
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm watching the Arsenal All or Nothing documentary on Amazon, and your boy's just getting pumped up and getting frustrated over how the season ended. But all in all, you know, I don't even know if people know about anything about soccer, but that's kind of winning me over.
Is he?
Yeah, he's kind of winning me over a little bit, and. But then again, you know, I also know that this documentary is biased. But, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see it. You know, it's cool to see my favorite team from England on here and just kind of be a bird. Or what is it? A fly on the wall. Just observe how.
Yeah, fly on the wall.
How it all kind of came to be last season.
I always wonder if they play up for the – because they know the camera's there, you know, so if they – to make it a little more saucy. Or if, you know – they're so used to cameras that they're actually not even, they're not aware. They know the camera's there, but it doesn't affect the way they process things or the way they act. Right.
I don't know. This team went up and down. So if they did, if this is their way of showing up, then I'm worried because they were really inconsistent.
Well, I mean, the preseason, they've looked pretty good, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people are gassed up about it, but we'll see. I don't want to get my hopes up too high.
Preseason is preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they won their first game 2-0, so we'll see. Yeah. That will be fun.
So that's what I've been watching. That's apart from, you know, other stuff that I've been watching. I've been watching this. I've also been watching Alone, the show Alone. I feel like you need to watch that because you're all on your hype about getting into a grizzly bear. Just watch that show, dog. Just live through them. Live through, vicariously through them. Right. You don't need to go out there. You know, like, some of these people are insane. Yeah. They're insane. Like, no, why are you out
I'm
there?
I'm sure.
Why are we out
insane
there?
Insane in the membrane.
No I reason to you. Be out there. For what? You know what I'm saying?
Adrenaline.
For what? Dog? You're bored. we're bored. We're bored if that's what we need to do to get adrenaline. No, go fucking, like... go jump somewhere. I don't know, but like it's insanity to me that people signed up for that. I mean, it's $500,000, which is, you know, crazy.
Oh, so it's a game show.
It's kind of like a game show. People go pretty much get stranded out on a terrain, and they have to survive, and they have to like build their own shelter, hunt their own food, blah de blah de blah.
They're like dropped Survivor.
This season though, they got dropped in an area where there's a bunch of grizzly bears. So that's like the big thing. So that's
shit,
what I'm saying.
Dude.
Like
that's fucking scary.
You're on your hype. Just watch that show, dog, and you'll see what happens to them. You can get your adrenaline rush through that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can. You're right. I mean, let's be honest. If I had a grizzly in front of me, I'd shit myself.
You're done.
Even if it was,
it's over.
Yeah,
it's
500
over.
Yards. Of,
it's over.
Oh, yeah, it's a wrap, dude. And the thing is, you know,
nice
those
to
things,
know you.
They don't kill you before they eat you. Anyways, we talked about this before, but yes, you're done. It's a wrap. The best thing you can do is curl up into a ball, try to protect your organs. But yeah, I might give it I might watch it. I haven't had much time to watch much TV. Oh shit, what'd I do here? Okay, sorry about that. So yeah, I might check it out, see what it's all about. My wife is watching a show over in a show about like London and the street life of London, and she's picking up on the freaking slang. So she'll say things like, "Oh, you not mad? Yeah? Man comes here for..." And I'm always hella laughing when she like is listening to it, and she's like, "What the hell are they saying?" But that's the London Roadman talks for you, you know. So if you ever go to an Arsenal game, you can pick up on some of the slang.
Yeah, through the soccer podcast, we've made friends with somebody from England. So I'm hoping that, you know, I don't know where it goes, but it'll be tight to have somebody on the ground over there to kind of lead us through the way. Once I make it, that's the only reason I would go back. That's the only reason that I want to go to England is just to go watch soccer. That's about it.
But is he in London?
He is a Manchester United fan, so I'm assuming he's in Manchester.
Oh, probably Manchester up north. Gets cold, from what I understand. Let's see how this guy's doing. He's been struggling over there. How are you, Paul? You've been jostling with your setup there.
Yes.
How are things? You and electronics don't get along, huh?
No, we do not.
It's all right. You were built for the outdoors.
I was built to survive. I'll say that.
And you were... Like when you say that, do you mean just get by, or do you mean
no? No,
I didn't survive, but I endure, and that's for sure.
Okay.
How are you, Paul?
Can't complain. It's Friday.
It is Friday. You went downtown and... Folks, bear with us, because we did have technical difficulties. This mic is this man is using the mic from his laptop, so
you know. Sounds like he's in outer space. It sounds like he's Spike.
It's temporary. Yeah, sounds like he's out in Well, I forget
the wilderness.
What is the spaceship called? Is it the Bebop, or what is it called?
No.
Is it? No, I don't think it is. I forget what it's called.
The show?
I forget what it's called. But, yeah. You know. It does sound like he's in there. After it's been decimated.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man. You hung out with the family. I know you've been going downtown. You know, spending time with your lady and your child, so family time's always good.
Yes, sir.
And I lost my ticket. You lost your?
My parking ticket, so you have to pay for the full day.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. I'm impressed.
Me too. Never has happened to me before.
There you go. There we go. All right. Yeah, as far as me, though, I'm doing pretty well. Trying to think if anything exciting has been going on. No, just interacting more with the people on Instagram. Some, you know, certain folks have been sending us messages and stuff, so I've been responding to them. That's been pretty cool. You know what was pretty cool is I saw that Kyle, the dude that hosts the Dragon Ball Super Dope podcast, he interviewed Geekdom, and Geekdom is known as like the biggest, I don't even know what to call him. I don't know if he's the biggest Dragon Ball YouTuber, biggest Dragon Ball insider. Mm-hmm. But basically, 3-4 years ago, this dude always had the inside scoop on everything Dragon Ball related. This dude knew when the movie was coming out, knew when like the anime was coming out. He had folks over in Japan. He had connections, you know, so it's pretty cool to see. He got to interview him. you know, a gentleman asked us on Instagram what we were talking about when we asked whether or not Spike actually wants to be a bounty hunter. So I felt like it was only right to try to elaborate.
No.
And I think
he can watch that. He can hear the episode if he wants to know what the fuck it was about. Go listen to the episode. Scared him off. Yeah. Get out of here. You didn't listen to the episode. That's, you know what that tells me? You didn't do the homework.
You did. Yeah, that's true.
He's a guy that comes into class afterwards like, hey, what's the test on again? We were just studying it for a week, my dog. Now you gotta sit here and take it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yes. Oh, I couldn't really understand what you just said. I'm not going to lie, but I will say this. It does say that the actual recording is higher quality. I think that's Riverside telling us this is trash quality, but not to worry. It will come out well on the actual recording. That's what it says. It says actual recording is high quality. So, nonetheless, you know, let's get to the anime stuff because, you know, this is an anime podcast, so we should obviously get to the meat and potatoes, which is the anime, the show, what we watched for this particular episode. And we picked off where we left off with Ranking of Kings. Episode 6 is what we watched. That's what we'll be discussing today. Ariel, how did you feel about the episode? What was it? What was the vibes?
Yo, you okay over there? you sound tired, man. You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm fine.
This episode, just thinking. I enjoyed this episode.
Go ahead.
I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really well made, and you know, I gotta say, I wanna say I even saw a Piccolo cameo. So
Piccolo.
There was a scene in there in the very beginning, maybe like the first 5 minutes of the episode, where they go into describing the kind of like the guards, you know what I'm saying? Like the ones that the dude is supposedly training, like the guys in the gold.
Oh yeah, the Order of the Underworld, the Netherworld.
There you go.
That's what it's called.
And then they're chasing a guy, and I want to say it was an homage to Piccolo because the guy kind of looked like Piccolo. He was green and he had like a hood on, white, brown. I don't know. I thought it was an homage to Piccolo, but that's the way I took it. So other than that though, I thought the episode was pretty good. I liked it. It was good pacing. There was a lot of character development for Boji, and even for the brother too. What's his name? Data?
Yeah, Data.
Data
or Data? Yeah. I don't know. Either or. Yeah.
And we got to know more about the mirror, which was also kind of fascinating. And there was also like kind of like a plot twist kind of thing going on in this episode too. So. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of twists and turns to this episode, which is enjoyable, you know, because you didn't really know where it was gonna land. So it was nice the way they kind of set it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a nice episode. I mean, you see the parallel stories continuing to develop between Boji and his brother Data. I actually watched the dub version this time. Hadn't seen it. I wanted to see what these voices were all about. That's not bad, I gotta say. English dub is not too bad.
That's the way I've been watching it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've been watching it sub up until now. Yeah, it was a good episode. Very solid. I enjoyed it. You know, we do see more Boji screen time, which is good. He has some moments there where you can see into the type of person he is, how strong he is for such a small and young person. You know, so overall it was a good episode. It focused on, you know, we got an introduction into the mirror and who the mirror actually is, that type of stuff. Oh, it says you have to refresh your page. I don't know. Technical difficulties.
It's been quite a fun day.
Yeah.
That's technical difficulties all day,
huh?
Real life and here.
Tip, he's good now.
Yo, back.
Yo.
Technical difficulties once again. It's getting to me.
They just continue. Yeah.
No, I'm back.
They just continue. Okay. No, as I was saying, back from technical difficulties. Yeah, no, we got insight into Boji's personality, a little more insight into his personality, the resilience that he has, but also kind of how he tries to disguise his, not disguise, even hide his fear, his disappointment. I mean, what you would consider negative emotions, right? He kind of tries to hide them, and
he goes over the warrior, kind of sucks it up, and it's like, you know, and he understands.
Yeah, he's got that suck yeah, it up type of.
Yeah, like, you know, he just understands that other people don't understand him, and he's happy that he has one person to understand them instead of a whole bunch of people like Daida. We get to see in this episode. Well, Beast and Devin, they talk about it. It's like, hey, you know, I appreciate your loyalty. You're willing to kill Daida for me.
Yeah.
Type of deal. So it's like, you know, even though he's in the underworld, you know, Hades, hell, whatever you want to call it, compared to, he's having true connections with people.
Yeah, I mean, he's such an enigma because everything about him screams docile, you know, like innocuous. He's not very, nothing about him is intimidating. Nothing about him is brash. Even when he can't attack. He can't actually hurt anyone. He can't pick up a rock. And those are deemed flaws, obviously, in terms of a warrior and wanting to be a king and whatnot. And I think you finally see him, let's just say, for, you know, sake of the conversation, break character a little bit when he sees that he can't even pick up a rock, which doesn't look that heavy. Of course, we don't have much context, but it doesn't look that heavy. And he tries to hide his face. You know, he doesn't want Kage to see that he's crying. And then he turns around and he can't really hold it in. And we got a sense of, okay, this dude, obviously, things do get to him. It isn't just like he deflects or he's immune, which, of course, makes sense. He's a little kid, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say up until this time we thought nothing affected him, but it just wasn't really focused on in the show that he seemed like he was immune to slander, to moments of weakness. He was always a go-getter. He had aspirations, he had goals, and he wasn't going to let anyone stop him from getting there. So I liked it. I liked that part. I don't know if you guys felt like that was a pretty powerful scene, the one where he's trying to pick up the rocks and he can't, and then he starts crying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of is the thing that kind of catapults the rest of the episode, right? Like the rest of the guards or the what are they? The, are they guards of the underworld?
Yeah, they are. They're called the Order of the Netherland.
The Order of the Netherland. Like, there is, yeah. I think, because they see him in that struggle, I think that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they were planning to give him that, the scroll.
Oh, the letter.
Right? Like, I don't know if they were, like, planning to give that to him regardless, but I'm sure that seeing him struggle that way and see him in that, like, state, I think also is what essentially kind of, it serves its purpose to actually move the story along. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because after that, then they get the news that they actually were at the wrong place, right? So then there becomes this other twist there. And, like, the rock becomes, like, in many ways, the way I read that is, like, he's not supposed to pick up that rock there. Like, that's not where the intended purpose was for him to pick up that rock. That's the way I interpret it, you know? Like, that wasn't meant to be for him at that place.
That's an interesting angle. Because if he does pick it up, then even though to us that seems inconsequential, you know, it's like, okay, you're picking up a rock. But in the grand scheme of things, for the sake of the episode, it wouldn't show how weak he is physically, thus, like, he almost wouldn't have a need. I mean, he still would have a need, but for the sake of the episode, it would be less justified for him to go to Despa, like, you know, or for him to continue looking for training, like,
Well, in other ways too, like the part out of that scene that sticks out to me is when he actually looks at his hand. He looks at his hands and he sees the dirt on his hands. Mm. And usually, when we think about those hands, those symbolic hands, those are usually tied to working class people, people that come home from work, like in hard labor, manual labor. And Boji's never had to do manual labor.
I think you guys are reading too much into that one. It's the
I'm just saying that, like, he's never had to actually pick up a rock like that.
I know what you're saying, but I think the author was just trying to emphasize the point that he lacks power, because in the previous episode, King Vesha was talking about how they're both cursed. One lacks strength, and the other one, like, thinks something about being so, like, I think it's, like, meant to be disliked by everyone, supposedly.
Say that again. Supposed to be a monk.
How Kage was, I think in the previous episode, King Dash had lightly touched on how they're both cursed. One lacking strength, and the other one lacking, like, social capabilities. I think it was the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he meant. And in this one, they're just emphasizing, like, you can't even pick up a small rock. And it kind of give you, like, the, when you go to the gym and your hands start getting rough from picking up, like, too much weight, even that small, he shows that even that small, much of a struggle. If anything, maybe you can touch on the base of, like, how one, you know, I can throw one rock at you and that the same rock back at me, and we can perceive it as a different struggle, even though it's the same rock, right? So we can all perceive struggle differently. So maybe that's where the rock could go. Maybe there is something with the rock there, but for me, that was just kind of just showing more of the emphasis about how his, the whole,
how weak I think he is. Gonna
touch the following episode is going to touch more based on, like, why that is. But right now, it's just emphasis of he has no strength. And, like, that's why they touch on that again. Like, you know, he is a great... What would you want to call it? He's great at avoiding conflict.
Yeah.
Which is a bad thing.
Which is reflected in his, like, special skills.
Yeah, he dodges all the time.
He doesn't have to kill you type of deal. Maybe that's kind of more of a... But the author is trying to touch, like, you know, you don't have to kill someone to solve something. You don't need brute strength to resolve every client's answer. And then along the lines that his dad is King Bosa, was literally the strongest king physically of the entire kingdom. So they're like, oh shit, you know, that's like your joke. It's like, oh, so the rumors are true about you. You are deaf and dumb. Blah, 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 blah. And he's laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, I'm not choosing one, right?
He's a complete opposite of his dad, and that isn't, let's say, he's not right now able to carry the mantle.
But that's what the rock represents, though, like the carrying of that mantle.
The thing is, like, he then a piece comes in. He was like, you know, I was here for Boji because Bosse did want Boji to be king.
That doesn't mean that Boji can handle it, though. That doesn't mean that he can carry.
Wait, Kage said that?
No, a piece.
A piece.
Right before he was about to kill Data, Ida, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, King Bose believed that Boji could be king, but it doesn't matter if he believes. I mean, obviously it does, but let's say in the grand scheme of things, what matters is that Boji believes he can be the king.
He was proud to be elected. He was proud, right? He is proud of who he is. He has these moments where, like, he has, like, a little coming out.
Yeah,
like,
where his back is against the wall and he fights back. I mean,
no, he doesn't have a chance to show he's that.
He's resilient. He's resilient. And he's got grit, but.
He has agility. He has great agility.
Yeah, but he's just so physically weak that he could get taken out by, like, you know. I mean, I say he can get taken out, but he dodges everything.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, does he really get taken out, though? Because his thing is dodge. So I think, like, I think strength is being, like, I think y'all are, like, narrowing it down to just physical strength. Like, strength is not just only that, though. Like, it's much more than that.
No, but that's exactly why they're elaborating this. That's why they're showing it so much, because they're showing everyone, they're making a big deal of physical strength. Almost everyone. But that's the whole point of author showing that it's not. To greatly emphasize one thing to drastically explain the other, because they're showing that even though he doesn't have strength, he's good at these other stuff.
He has, like, strength.
Even the captain of the underworld, who cannot even keep up with them, who they can take down entire armies by themselves, couldn't touch him.
So that's what I'm saying. He does have strength.
He has strength, but Boji doesn't even believe it himself. That's why he turns around and starts crying.
That's what I'm saying. It's like any society. We have this conception of strength, and like, oh, if you don't have it, then you're weak. No, but it's exactly what Ariel is explaining. And that's the whole point of Boji. It's like, even though society has this one view, this one perception, even though we're all, most of us are living in this tunnel vision, like, there's many other attributes to this. If we get to, everyone to listen, to look, and do, there's strength in everyone if we learn how to polish that stone properly.
So that's what you believe The Rock represents. Nah, I'm just fucking with you. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I understand in the sense that he's got other qualities that, you know, we can consider that are strengths, right? Like you said, the more, like, he can be empathetic, I'm sure, and he's got a good heart and physical attributes too. Like, he can dodge.
He's unassuming. Like, don't assume that he's like some crazy beast.
Like, bullshit. Like, he can walk downtown, people talking shit to him, and he can still smile.
I mean, in the art of war, that's one of the principles. It's like, appear weak to your opponent. So, like, you know, he's
that's true.
He has that. You know,
just not necessarily just confuse him.
Yeah, just to confuse them, but you still appear that. You know, you appear wounded. You appear a certain. You present a certain way to your opponent. That doesn't necessarily mean that Boji has mastered it.
Yeah, I don't even think he does it on purpose. Yeah. I think he just has no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
No, exactly. He has no choice. He has to live.
But he wants to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think. Right. And, yeah, he wants to get stronger. He wants to prove to everyone. And it's funny because they literally have a barometer. They have a ranking system. So there's actually someone you have to prove yourself to. There's like a governing body that you have to prove yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
Call it an auditor. Whatever, it's some type of third party that ranks you, and yeah, he wants to attain physical strength, especially knowing, like, but like you said, I'm sure as the show will go on, his other strengths that maybe are less tangible will will be what separates him from the rest. I'm going out on a limb here because I haven't finished the season, but that's what I think. You know.
I mean, you're right. I mean, you and I have watched a little bit more, but even though the following episodes explain this episode more. I think that's just the thing. It's a story that's building up. And the story is well told at a decent pace, at a good pacing for it.
Yeah, this is the first episode where I actually feel like we're actually like on an adventure. Like, this is the first episode that I feel like that. The other ones have felt like they're kind of building us up to get to this point, but this one actually feels like there were actual steps in the journey. There were actually, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it felt like we were just gathering the materials, and then now Boji's actually on his way to, like, to go. Because even in some of the imagery in the episode, there's, like, this really long road that he's, like, looking at that he has to go through to get to the place. Like, you know, there's a lot of visual, like, reminders that he's on a journey, which I enjoyed because it's like, okay, finally, we're fucking, like, we're moving, you know, we're moving forward. And many sometimes it even feels like we're stepping backwards, but, you know, we're moving, you know, we're going somewhere. And the other one, too, the brother, too.
Yeah, and Boji and Kage are now by themselves.
Yeah.
They don't have a protector, so to speak. And so I think that's important. Not to stick on the rock too much, like the rock scene, but I do think... I do think that, like, him trying to hide the fact that he was crying and then was important because up until now, it seemed like things didn't get to him. And that was something that was very admirable in a way, you know, because you're like, wow, here is this guy. He looks very small, unassuming, like Ariel said. He is the antithesis of his dad in a way. And... but nothing gets to him. He's bulletproof. And now we kind of see him crack a little bit. And,
yeah, we saw that before, too, when he didn't know Kage was in the room.
When what?
When Kage was in the room in the castle.
Mm.
He did have another moment where he breaks down in privacy. So he knows he's not stupid at all. He knows how to show, like...
Oh, yeah, when they've been saying stuff to him. Yeah.
The other way you mislead them with your strength, I think. And he's always smiling, so he's misleading you by saying, like, I'm strong and all of a sudden hurt me. When in reality, they do hurt him, but he uses it as motivation at the same time to prove I'm wrong. He's like, I can, I will be powerful, et cetera, et cetera. So it's nice to see. I think what we enjoy about that is just we get to appreciate the human aspect of it because we all feel pain and we all feel sorrow. But the way that he handles it, I think, is how we would ideally like to handle it, right? Kind of had taken on the chin, keep walking through. But at the end of the day, they does hurt you. It does affect you. It's okay to cry, let it out. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a weak person by any means.
Yeah.
I think that's what the character gets to show. You know, you can be great even though you are small.
So I have a clarifying question after that. So, I mean, I think because we've brought this, I mean, the way we talk about it, we're describing it as like he's doing this to like not necessarily get revenge, but get like, you know, kind of prove people wrong. So was this explained in the early episodes? I'm like forgetting. Did they say that he's actually like are people doubting him or is it all just behind the scenes that are people doubting him? No one's ever actually told him.
No, people take advantage of through ignorance is bliss, right? So he's using their ignorance to let them live in a blissful way so he doesn't have to have a conversation and make people feel bad for making him feel bad in a sense.
But he knows people doubt him. He knows people don't want him to be the king.
He didn't even know that he could read lips. So people are like, oh, he doesn't understand this, whatever, as long as we're in sign language.
Yeah, no, they underestimate him a lot, but...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Maybe this is the way you're talking about it. To me, it sounds like this has been like shown before that he can read lips, and like I literally have only seen these 7 episodes. So like I didn't even know that was a skill. So like, is this something that like that we know about this later on? Because it's like to me, like right now, the way I'm taking it as somebody that hasn't watched, this is all I've watched. I don't even think he knows he's proven anybody wrong. I think he just thinks he's on a journey. That, but that's the way. That's the way I'm taking it as somebody that's just watching it for the first time.
That's okay. That's not weird taking it, but remember in the first episode, his mom was telling him, "I don't think you can be king," and he was like, "He was hurt. He wanted to show him." And then they had the duel. It's like, this is my chance to beat him, and I can be on my way. And then Damas went down. It's like, no, you need to be on him like a king, the way of the king, the way of boss. And then he got his ass whooped right after. But then that's when people talked about him, and he's like, ugh. Like, you know, like, your heart drops. Like, oh, shit. Like, you know, it's those times where, like, oh, we think people are not listening, but we are. And they're listening, they're hearing us, and it's like, it's about, and they can be brutal. And even though they don't mean to hurt him.
But that's an assumption, though. That's an assumption that that's what's happening for him. Because, like...
No, because he, right when he speaks, he's sad. He sucks a little bit. In fact, he's right there back in the back of it. He's like, don't worry about it, we're going to prove him wrong.
Is that what Kage said?
Not in those words, but essentially.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're assuming there that he's... I mean, to me. Like, to me. Because I've only seen up to this point. So, I just wanted to clarify that for myself. Because I'm like, did I miss something? Or, like, they described that he could read lips? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like...
Yeah, I
forgot.
Well, this journey for him... He wanted to go on this journey, right? This is his rite of passage. And ultimately, he wants to get strong because he does want to become the king.
Like, yeah.
He knows people underestimate him. Like, when he goes into the town, no one treats him as if he's the king to be.
And y'all think he knows that? I don't think that he does. That's the thing that I'm kind of like.
I think he does. I think
he knows. He understands what he's not giving Kage his clothes away because he's an idiot. It's because he's lonely. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't engage with people in town because he knows that they view him as a fucking fool. So, like, that's just the essence of, like, why beat a dead horse? You know, why even disprove him? Why?
But I don't even, can do that. I don't know. I see Boji kind of like on the spectrum. Like, I don't know if he totally understands social cues. Well,
no, you way. Think he's oblivious? No,
I think he's oblivious. No, I think he doesn't understand social cues.
No, he's above it because he takes it. He's just literally ignoring it and just giving it the facade of a smile. That's what we all. That's what I'm saying. That's the big. I think that's why he's so popular for the show for those people because for all the abuse that he takes, he doesn't let it make him negative. He doesn't become the same person.
But abuse. He's not trying to get him. But I would argue that he actually has not gotten that much abuse because, like, in the memory that Data has, there actually is a very clear picture where they're actually letting him play, which is something that they didn't allow Data to do. So what punishment is in that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say that he's actually been really sheltered.
The next episode for sure.
But man, we keep saying the next episode. I'm talking about right now because I've only seen 7 episodes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, but right now, as he lips, those were in the first 2 episodes. And that was, I mean, they've shown the reactions afterwards of him, like, you're not going to be king, you're not good enough, and he gets sad. So, I mean, he doesn't.
But that's not abuse, though. Like, that's just telling him, like, dog, like, what are we talking about? Like, you're not going to be the king. Like, you're not fit to be the king.
When the king tells you that you're going to be king, but then everyone's like, nah, you're not. That's just people talking shit. Like, if your boss is like, okay, you're going to get promoted. And then everyone's like, yeah, nah. That's essentially what's going on, and then the boss is dead.
Yeah, I don't think the royal fat, like the
but abuse was
I don't think the I don't think the aristocrats are abusing him. I definitely think he gets abused. I think
that's not helping him.
No, for sure. I mean, they're very they're disparaging towards him.
But isn't getting murdered kind of abuse? Attempted murder.
Yeah, I mean, well, you'll get. They'll try to murder a dude that's really strong. They'll try to murder a dude that's really weak. That, you know, they don't necessarily discriminate. But I do think that the abuse comes from the town people. Like, whenever he's interacted with regular town folk from his own town, which was obviously in the earlier episodes, part of the reason they sheltered him, his family does care about him, obviously, was because they knew that he would not fit in with the regular citizens. And they they ended up abusing him, which is why he does break down in his room when he thinks no one's watching him, because he's learned to read lips, and so, which I think was already said. Anyways, point being, like, I did want to get to Data. Like, this is obviously Boji's journey, and he wants to come back to the palace, a different Boji, a stronger Boji, one that, you know, has grown in ways that will surpass what they know him for. But, you know, Data also had, I don't know if the term is character development, but there was a lot of spotlight on him. And I felt like he displayed a lot of, we saw his Vegeta energy. I felt like he really shows his emotions outward. Like, he does wear his emotions on his sleeve, and he's a very prideful guy. So we see him when he has the flashback, and he's one where he's kind of, I think he was sensed, like, had a little bit of envy of Boji when he sees, like,
mom comforting him.
Yeah.
Letting him play. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? Boji has been actually really sheltered, and Data has been the one that's been like, he's been getting the fucking abuse because he's been getting hit and being told to fucking man up and be strong.
We're talking about what's up in the open, but down the onion turns are back. There's nothing but talking shit about the kid.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I don't know if Boji completely understands the nuance of that. But regardless, you're getting into Data, whatever. At the end of the day, you're absolutely correct. Data does have, like, some character development.
If he watches, I think it's more apparent that he does. Especially when he sees the less talking to him, during the fight scene with his brother. You know, he's telling him right there with words, and he understands everything else, but he only tells him through sign language, I want you to fight this way.
Right. Well, regardless of that, like, Data is also, you know, a character that was heavily focused on this episode. And yeah, we see that he has that flashback where he sees his mom comforting Boji. But then we also see the flashback to when he's fighting Boji, or sparring Boji. And he beat Boji's ass. Like, for all intents and purposes, he beat his ass. But the one thing that it highlights during that flashback is when Boji taps him on the forehead, you know, very, very gracefully, almost effortlessly, and that you can tell it irks, at least in that moment, it irks Data, right? And it's like, dude, are you missing the forest for the tree here? Because you beat his ass. You're physically stronger than him. But this is something that irks him, and this is that Vegeta, like, archetype where Vegeta obviously can't stand Goku. Goku obviously is, as of right now, in a different stratosphere when talking about Boji, but this Vegeta can't stand the fact that someone so low ranking from the lowest class of the Saiyan race could be better than him at something, and it irks him. And so here we go. We see that, you know, this is where his ambition for power, like, I don't know, it doesn't, not necessarily, it's that it stems from this. Obviously, I don't think this is something that pivots him to wanting to become very powerful, but we can see why, like, where that ambition comes from. Things that irk him that to us seem very trivial, to him are, he can't get over them. Like, they push him over the edge. And he's just a very prideful. I don't think he's necessarily, I don't think deep down he's selfish, but I know deep down he wants to be the best. I can tell that, you know, and I can tell he's very prideful. right? So I enjoy him being very upfront with the mirror, saying, hey, listen, I apologize. I couldn't drink that, though. I know you wanted to help me, but I couldn't take that, right? He's very comfortable in the decision that he made. And so
it is with caution. It is more like with caution. It's not as he then tries to, you know, he's like, oh, well, maybe she was just trying to help me. And then she's like, aha, no, I tried to play you. So you're wise to be.
I mean, this fool was gonna kill. What's his name? Appis.
Yeah,
he was gonna off his head. He had
that
right
thing
there.
He had that thing ready.
Yeah,
he had that thing ready to go.
He's not afraid.
Well, Appis was about to stab him right there through the throat.
He was.
That's true.
He was.
It's true. He was gonna take him off the coward way, like, you know, he was gonna take him off while he was down.
Yeah.
No, but before they talked about how him and the other guy fought it off. Him and Devin.
Yeah.
His mentor, they were fighting. So right now we're presuming that Devin is dead.
Uh-huh.
Because he can't.
Right.
He's like, fuck, dude, my Piccolo is dead.
Yeah, you know, his actual father. Yeah. Not the stepdad, right. But the dad that stepped up. That type of dude.
Devin.
That boy, Devin.
Devin is the dude with the mustache, right?
We'll call him Devin. Yeah.
The boy with the mustache.
The boy with the stash.
Yeah.
The 70s stash.
How'd you feel about Data, Adrian?
I loved it. I thought this is, to me, I think, like, this is probably one of the reasons that I really enjoyed this episode. I think that they did. I love learning more about his character. He's intriguing. Now that you're saying it that way, I don't know, the last episode, I was like, I don't know if he's a Vegeta. It doesn't really remind me, he's more impressionable. But yeah, I think I'm starting to see a little bit more now that, like, they're giving me a little bit more about, like, why he is the way that he is. And I just really appreciate that, like, nuanced, like, kind of like take on his character, that, like, he's essentially longing for, not longing, but, you know, growing up, a lot of the things that Boji got, he didn't get. And that has now festered up. You know, it's gotten to a point of no return where it's not so easy for him to feel for other people. It's not so easy for him to feel a certain type of way because it was never really shown to him. There are some scenes where they just seem like they were just really cruel to him, you know, where they were just making him train really hard, or they were like, you know, pushing him down. And in many ways, I thought they were really trying to humiliate him by putting him against Boji. And then Boji kind of like, and I don't think, and again, this is why I say Boji is so dope to me, because I don't think that he knows that this is what he's doing, is that he's embarrassing his brother.
No, he knows.
But I don't think that he does. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that Boji knows. I don't think Boji will, you know, Boji, I don't think, understands that he's embarrassing his brother. His brother is the one feeling the embarrassment. That's the difference.
Yeah, little brother gives him the little smirk, but they're like, haha.
But no, but.
But what's what we say, though?
This is what I'm saying. Like, you're right in the sense that, like, I could see why, you know, well, Data beat his ass at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, he beat the shit out of
him. When the mouse told him to switch fighting styles, hey, I want you to fight like Data. He's like, oh, fuck. All right. Actually,
yeah, when we got to go tit for tat, like actual combat, you know.
When
after he's gotten, like, furious.
You don't just block, get hit. You literally, ideally, just slip, don't get hit.
Right.
It's hit. That's a premise. It's the same thing with sword play. And no, but even in real swords, you don't want to hit the sword. Your sword will break and chip, and it'll become useless in battle.
Right.
So no matter what, that's actually beneficial to him. And there is different style of sword play. I mean, there's fencing, there's freaking the English style two-handed swords. I mean, there's different swords. There's different way of fighting. But, like, this is all based because they all want to be like Bose. Damas wants to be like Bose. Data wants to be like Bose. And Boshi wants to be like Bose too, though. Except what they don't know is that he's cursed. And we find that out the last episode. Now it's developing more on that. You know, he's has all this against him, but he's still going to overcome through a different strength, because even though For me, it's going more like ones like society says that this is the one road of success. This is the only way you can make it, and it's the only way going to happen. And you have to be this type of way, this archetype. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, I still want to be the best. I'm still going to try my way. And that's why we see later on that he goes to get trained with the whole joke between Desha to Despa. And how Devin, for some reason, it's really interesting. We, like you said, more character development. We actually see, like, oh, Devin actually wanted to recommend Boji. What's going on here? He was Data's mentor, but he clearly loves Data too. He's not trying to sabotage him. So it's like, oh, what's developing there? So it's like, his strength is that he is aware of his weaknesses.
Data?
And you're talking about Boji? And
yes. And when he knows that he has to, like, when the clearest example of that, when he knew that he had to fight Dumbass one-on-one combat, tit for tat, he was like, fuck. His attitude changed, and he was like, fear, and he's like, I'm about to get everything demolished, this is going to be horrible. It changed. His demeanor was like,
Boji is one thing for sure, but Data to me, Data has a lack of self-awareness. Because he loses perspective, you know, which is what makes him take these rash decisions.
He's more trusting, right?
He's what?
He's actually more trusting than Boji, kind of. Because Boji's kind of aware of what's going on because of his weaknesses. But
I would say he's more trusting. I mean, everything for the sake of getting stronger.
I mean, let's not forget their kids, too, right? There's innocence, and there's innocence to that. The people taking care of you are supposed to have your back. So that was how they both got betrayed easily.
But they couldn't be more opposite in the sense that Data is, he's gifted. I would say both are gifted. But Data is the prototypical, like, Spartan. They knew from the get-go he was going to actually be the one to be the king. And so, actually, let me scratch that. Yeah. I don't think so, because King Bose wanted Boji to be the king.
No, it's weird. But that one gets split up a little, but you're right, Evan. The archetype was that they knew. See, Bose and Ron and Miranda know he was going to be a king. That was a plan.
Yeah.
And again, this will be explained next episode.
But, I mean, as far as Data's concerned, I just think he's a badass character. I enjoy him as a character. I love seeing that things irk him, and he's well aware of that, and that pushes him, like, you know, even things that maybe don't really make it, that seem not like trivial, but, you know, yeah, he was, I don't know how, you know, Ariella, I don't know what you thought about Data. I know you kind of talked a little bit about him. But if you were,
Data. I'm enjoying him as well. I think he's a cool character. I think he's what I like about him the most is that, like, they kind of just give you little by little, like, just a little bit of layers around him. But just the small, like, little times that he's on the screen, they just are so efficient in the way that they use their layering that it's really cool, because he's not even in this episode that long. You know, I would argue Boji's the dominant, like, face that we see, but just in the small minutes that you get with Data, like, there's so much that happens, you know, like, from the mirror to him and, like, his childhood, the way he is, the way he gets irked, exactly what you're saying. The complete opposite of Boji, where Boji's not going to exactly tell you that he's upset, but this fucking guy will. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there is a moment where he experiences fear, And then there's this like this switch of survival mode for him,
right?
Which exactly. I don't see that. I don't necessarily see that yet with Boji, but like Data is so quick to be like, oh, okay, cool. This fucking thing's right here. This was in a weak spot. I'm gonna just fucking chop his head off. And it takes the mirror to kind of piece it together. And then like the mirror then also adds this other layer to the story too that, you know, is also kind of like a plot twist too, right? That it's just like, this thing has been around for a minute.
The mirror's playing chess in this whole thing.
And you can tell that he's being used. Like he does, I don't know if he actually knows he's being used, but like
no, he doesn't.
The mirror is very clearly using almost everybody on the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is also cool to just see. And you kind of, to me, I almost started feeling bad for Data. That's when you know that they're writing a character really strong, is like the supposedly antagonist. Like you're actually starting to understand why they are the way they are. Like to me, I feel bad for him. Like I started feeling bad for him of like, man, this fucking kid has just been getting beat down and being like high expectations, high expectations, high expectations. And you're never going to meet them. That he's just built up this wall that he's so willing to chop somebody's head off so quickly at the sight of weakness. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's when you know, like you got a strong character in your hands. So I will say that about the show.
He almost isn't, and he's a complete foil to Boji. Like they're perfect. Like they're like yin and yang in a way. They're two sides of the same coin, because on one end you have Boji, who is everything about him looks fluffy, and even though both of them are kids, Data looks the more rigid one, and obviously his personality speaks to that too. And then like you said, like whenever his back is against a wall, he's going to rebel against whatever's in front of him, where like Boji's still trying to figure that out, you know. Paul, you fucking with Data?
These, I fuck with everyone. Yeah. Everyone here and them. They're great. Every single. Especially after watching everything, it's a solid show. And this episode alone, though, it lives well. I personally felt just a little bit of disappointment, but I just feel like it's still building up from the last one.
Obviously.
And I just think when it takes, like, I just feel like it takes 2 or 3 episodes of a build up,
I haven't finished,
going 30 episodes in for a fucking 5-minute battle.
Well, but here's the thing. I personally feel.
It's getting there.
Right.
If anything, it's nice to have hearing you guys talk, though. Like, it does remind me of the times of, like, when Goku and Krillin went to Masaroshi for the first time. Kind of gives me those feels just a little bit.
Oh, interesting. I wouldn't have thought that at all, because...
Because, well, I mean, the underworld, they go through the challenge, and Masaroshi man go through the challenge, too, before they start training. And then he reads the letter, and the letter is like, well, fuck you guys.
Well...
And the other one's like, well, you know, he was just fucking with you guys. You're actually, you got to go and see the
so,
like, what? Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, just...
The thing so, with like, that, though, is, anyways, I would say it reminds me more of like Naruto and Sasuke, because they go down different paths and one takes. But I have I don't even think it's a theory. I think I only got up until like episode 13. But to me, all roads point to one place, like one climax, right? So that's what I see. I haven't finished the season, so obviously I don't know, but it feels like all roads point to one climax. What are we at now? We almost got an hour. You guys want to get into the trivia? You feel confident, or you guys want to pass on this one? I'm going to leave this one up to you guys.
I feel like this one's just too, would be too, there's not much to go on. You can do it. Go for it. It just, it feels like a,
I mean, I got questions, bro. But
A light episode.
I didn't feel like it was light.
I didn't think it was light at all. I actually felt like this is probably one of the more like episodes with substance in it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because again, this is like when the journey first begins for me.
It's just my opinion. That's just me. It's because you've seen the show.
Yeah. Like I haven't seen the show. This is only my seventh. This is only my seventh episode.
Yeah. That's why it was definitely harder for me. I'm not necessarily.
Yeah.
But I just hate seeing. It just goes back to me. I think prison just 2 to 3 episodes of all being the same thing kind of irked me a little.
Hmm.
It's like here's the building. Here's the building. It's like, okay, finally. All right, then we're going to get over here. It's like, we're going to have a cliffhanger.
Right there, a little bit of that.
It feels like we've been a cliffhanger for 2 episodes.
All right.
Let's get the best part.
Let's get into this trivia, dude. Let's get into it. Let's do it. You did the questions.
I did the questions.
And you know what? Yeah, let's go, Don DeMarco. Let's do it.
All right, I'm going to make this quick because we have been recording now for about an hour. So, and your boy's got to get up early tomorrow, go to the class. I'm actually doing 2 tomorrow, 2 classes.
Look at this guy.
Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just know that I'm doing 2 of them.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Question 1, and no looking up, no cheating. What is the name of the girl in the mirror that has been helping Data? Jot it down and just let me see.
You know, think about it. I'll mention.
Give you 10 seconds. 1,000. 2,000. 3,000.
Can I show it?
Forgot her name. I don't know.
Oh.
Lady.
Don DeMarco.
Mirando.
Yeah.
Oh. 1-0, in the words of Thierry Henry. Yes, Mirando. Lady Mirando. That is her name. We didn't really mention it, but we saw a little bit more of her. This episode. So
I mentioned it.
You did mention it. But you know, we didn't talk about her interaction with King Bos and what is his name? Apis? I'm eager to see what she brings on for the next one. For the next episode. Alrighty.
Did you guys notice that though?
Who is Boji's letter of recommendation meant for? This is multiple choice. I'm going to throw them out. Is it A, King Dessa, B, Prince Dessa, C, Prince Desla, D, Prince Despa?
Gonna give it to him.
Let's see. Give it a second.
Hold on. I think it's this one. Am I wrong on that?
You're Paul. Paul, what do you got? Okay. Both of you got it right. It is Prince Despa. I tried to throw in a curveball there, with all the names. Yeah, Tesla, Dessa.
All the pronouns?
Yeah. Tesla?
Yeah.
All right. Last one. Okay, and this one's going to be true or false, so, you know, a little bit easier.
Not with these trick questions.
Well, let's see. King Dessa lied to Boji and Kage because he believed he could train Boji better than his brother Despa. True or false? And this was when the letter of recommendation was given to him.
Let's see. Oh, I don't remember that. That's like a sentence.
So,
I don't remember.
Say it again. Okay, okay. So when he was given the letter of recommendation, the guard comes back with it to give it to Kage and Boji, right? And he says to Boji and Kage, this is where you got to determine whether it's true or false, that King Dessa lied to Boje and Kage, you know, about the letter of recommendation being for him and not his brother. So it says, King Dessa lied to Boje and Kage because he believed he could train Boji better than his brother Despa.
Okay.
Ariel, you were shooting from the hip on that one, dude. You were shooting from the hip on that one. I know you were.
Well, I actually originally had put true, and then I changed it to false because the last times that I've done this true or false, I've gone with my first reaction, and because of the fucking questions are so tricky, that I'm like, you know what? Let me actually go the other way.
Okay,
well, can't hurt.
It's false. Yes, he did lie to them, but it wasn't because he thought he could train them better than his brother. He just enjoys lying. He found pleasure in it.
He's jealous of Despa because of his.
He's jealous of him. But what he tells Boji and Kage is the guard. What he tells him is like, oh, he just enjoys it. He enjoys lying.
He's like, He says like, you would get a kick out of it.
Yeah,
because you guys didn't even know because they fucked it up and confused him. And they're like, well, why would he do that? Well, he's kind of, you know, envious of his brother. Let's just say, yes, it's you.
Yes. That is all true, Paul. Thank you for that. Well, okay, this one was good, Paul. You got all three of them right. I am pretty impressed. Ariel, you got 2 out of 3. That's not bad, considering the fact that you're going up against the anime savant.
I would argue that the first question is actually more context-based, and because he's actually seen the show more, this is the first time I'm ever hearing the name. He's probably heard the name multiple times throughout the season, so
I'm not here to say that Paul doesn't have a leg up on you.
But here I am, fighting.
But here you are, all right? I'm not here to say that that's not true, but you know what? You're doing all right, and on this one, you did pretty well. So we will end it there. Again, this is a temporary situation, what we got going on with Paul's mic. We will figure this out, and it will not sound like he is on a freaking airplane while we record.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you all for taking the time out of your day. We will see you guys next week.